I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Friday, September 14th, 2007 edition of The American Awakening. I am your host, Michael Herzog, and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours, and happy Friday to you. Well, let's see, it's 12 o'clock Phoenix time, that's Pacific time, and no nukes have gone off yet, knock on wood, but hopefully we're going to have another nice, peaceful, and sunny day, at least in Phoenix, Arizona. I wanted to mention, for those of you who were listening to John Stattmiller's show just prior to mine coming on the credit card thing, he had made mention of It's a Wonderful Life, and it was made in 1939. And John and I go back as far as competitive movie buffs, and John had continuously tried to outdo me on his knowledge of movies. So for those of you who were listening and you heard him quote It's a Wonderful Life in 1939, I most promptly corrected him. It's 1947. And so for all the listening audience, and you're all witnesses, now I'm one up on him. So there you go. Okay, got a great show today. We've got John Hankey coming up after the break, and we're going to talk about the Holocaust. We've been talking about so much this week, and we seem to get off topic a little bit, but it's been a great, very interesting, very knowledge-filling week, and he'll be up after the break. But before we get into that, I wanted to mention the websites. My website is www.theamericanawakening.org. His is www.bushkilledjfk.com, so you can relate to that at any point during the show if you'd like to, because I believe he's going to be discussing an article that I just posted on my website, and I think it's something like Hitler Worked for Me or something of that nature. At any rate, I wanted to mention, folks, starting next week, I believe if my software comes in, I've got a video cam, and I can't download video into my computer until this software arrives, and it should be in here today or tomorrow. But at any rate, starting next week, what I'm going to do, which is what you guys could do if you wanted to, is I'm going to start going out and interviewing the mind-numbed American dumbed-down masses, and I'm going to start asking them specific questions regarding a number of different subject matter that I'm sure that they don't hear on mainstream news, and we're all going to find out just what percentage of the American public is awake, and I'm going to pose questions to them such as the North American Union, 9/11, and that sort of thing. So that should be really, really interesting, and I'm not sure how many days a week I'll be doing that, but I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And folks, I wanted to mention also that, you know, there's an exponential awakening happening right now. And we saw that at the 9/11 event, where really better than half of the people already knew 9/11 was an inside job. And the encouraging thing about it is a lot of the police officers are also becoming aware of it. And those guys, and I tip my hat to them, because those guys are on the front line here. Basically, as far as the globalists are concerned, they're cannon fodder. They're the first to go. So, excuse me, directing at the police department for a minute, you guys, if you don't already know that, okay, I would recommend that you type in Jack McLam on Google and get a copy of his report on Police State 2000, and that'll give you a little insight as to what's going on here. And if you're not already aware, you can bone up on what's really going on. Now, the reason I mention that is because there was a movie that was premiered the other night by Alex Jones, and there were some people that knew nothing about it that came to see it, and by the time they walked out of there, they were Bush supporters, and now they're not. So it just proves that it'll work, folks, if you get out there and do it. We'll be back after the break with my guest, John Hankey. Stick with me. Got a great show coming up. Look forward to it. Be right back.
Hi. heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Back, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from sunny Phoenix, Arizona. And a correction for you police officers out there: it's not Police State 2000; it's Vampire Killer 2000. Just type in Vampire Killer 2000 or Jack McClam, either one. It'll pop up there, and you can order a copy of it. And it'll, if you're not already awake, it'll wake you up. Okay, without any further ado, let's see if I've got my guest John Hankey on the line. Johnny, with me?
Hey, Michael.
How you doing today, buddy?
I'm swell. How are you?
Pretty good. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we're going to talk about the Holocaust today, yes?
That's the plan. Well, we're going to get started on it anyway.
Okay. Well, I don't know. You know, this has been a great week. We've had a lot of great callers. We've had a lot of great information come out. And of course, we've got off topic, and we've slowed down a little bit, but, we're bringing it up to speed here. So let's get started. You want to?
I always like to start with a recap just a little bit.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, just yesterday I said that Mitt Romney was – I was tying all of these connections between the Mormon hierarchy and the Bush administration. And, I mean, some of that stuff is just unbelievable. And I ran down, didn't I, on the air that – and I don't have the names in front of me at the moment, but the head of the FDA, Federal Drug Administration, the head of the Drug Enforcement Administration, and the – chief of staff for Alberto Gonzalez were all from Cedar Hills, which is this little town of 30,000, and the notion that that should have produced three of the highest-ranking members of the Bush administration is just astonishing. It's just astounding. It's I mean, if you think about it, anybody out there in the audience that is from a town of 30,000, you think of who your most successful and high-ranking politically and on a federal level member is, and I think the chances are about one in a million that you know anybody who has any participation with anyone at the federal level. It's just astonishing. Those people typically come from the Northeastern establishment and maybe from some other establishment. You know, the people who graduate from Stanford occasionally end up in high positions. People who graduate from USC occasionally end up in high positions, but most of them are from Princeton, Harvard, Stanford, and Yale. But these three individuals from this little tiny town achieve these high-ranking positions, and I think that it really demands some sort of an explanation how something like so extraordinary could have happened. And in fact, I think that Truott's explanation that someone in the Mormon hierarchy, or perhaps more than one, are in possession of this absolutely explosive information and material documenting the participation of Bush Sr. in the assassination of John Kennedy Sr., therefore giving them the power of blackmail, for example, but certainly the ability to push buttons and demand influence and receive it, suddenly you have, I think, extremely, extraordinarily powerful corroboration of what would otherwise seem a ridiculous story, I think, from Truott, that he was in possession of this file. When you look at these three individuals from this little tiny town achieving such power and influence, it suggests that there must be something going on, and I don't have anything else readily at hand, and Ott happens to provide that while pointing at these obvious things. While I was talking about that, I mentioned that Romney is a Mormon and had said that he was going to pick Jeb Bush for his vice presidential running mate. Now, I read that. I have no shadow of a doubt about the fact that that information was in front of my eyes and in black and white, and somebody sent me an email yesterday that said, we can't find it. And so I got on and I Googled it, and there's all of this little tiny bits and pieces, all sorts of discussion about how Romney's staff is Bush's staff, that Jeb Bush has contributed the leading members of Romney's staff. Well, that's pretty powerful in itself, and maybe that's enough and we don't need to go any further. However, and also all of the speculation that Romney was going to name Bush as his vice presidential running mate, but the story that Romney had said so has been squelched. It has been disappeared. And, you know, I'm here to tell you that I'm not nuts and I don't have that vivid an imagination. Well, I read it.
I tell you, John, let me interject something. I mean, that statement, and you read that, and it was online, evidently it disappeared, which doesn't surprise me. I was just looking at something that would relate to the subject content we had today, and I can't find it. It's disappeared. As a matter of fact, in my documents, I saved it, and it was regarding the Holocaust, and it says that the service is temporarily unavailable. But back to this Jeb Bush thing, just by virtue of the fact, if that was written and that was announced by Mitt Romney, that in itself, I mean, I had a shiver just go up my spine just now. That's bone-chilling. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to interject. But
No, that's I mean, and we're not going to go down that path. I could name a number of things of my own regarding the Kennedy assassination, the New York Times used to be able to go and see their extra edition that they put out on the day Kennedy was murdered. It's gone. It used to be there, and it used to talk about the entry wounds on the throat and head, but it's gone. The second point that I wanted to make, and it was really sort of the massive 5-day point, or to be made out of all of the stuff that I've presented over the last 4 days, and to try to bring it current, is the notion. I'd like people to consider for a moment that you're David Rockefeller. And David Rockefeller, the head of the CFR for years and years and years, and I think the primary, most powerful devil in the United States, although he's ably assisted by a number of other leading banking families, the Harrimans and the DuPonts, and I don't want to insult anybody by leaving them out, but I guess they'll just have to forgive me. If you're David Rockefeller and, you know, Bush is your stooge and you want him in because he's going to be your main man. He's going to follow without hesitation. He's very thoroughly and has been for generations, right? That family has been serving you. They're the guys that you want in. So what do you do about the other candidates? What do you do about supposing for a moment that there were honest politicians out there, and I think that it should be fairly clear that one of, if not the main thing, the highest priority on his agenda would be to try to create cynicism among the American people to think that all political candidates were crooks, that all of them were paying tribute to him, that all of them were completely indebted and beholden and his minions, and that elections don't matter. Now, I think it's very obvious with the stealing of the elections that has gone on the last 8 years, the very obvious in-your-face things that have gone on, and it's very obvious that elections matter. But you want people to think that that's not the case. You need, if you ever had an honest Democratic candidate, it would be absolutely essential that you persuade people that it doesn't make any difference. And you have people, and you know, I don't want to say anything personal about anybody or say anything that reflects about anybody personally. My brother's green. He's a member of the Green Party, and he was pushing Nader, and he doesn't say it anymore, but he said it at the time that there was no difference between Al Gore and Ralph Nader. And I think you can probably find people today who will say, yeah, there's no difference between Al Gore. Would have what? He would have done September 11th. He would have carried out September 11th. He would have withdrawn, anyway, on and on. I mean, just make a laundry list of the crimes of the Bush administration, and if you can manage to persuade yourself that those things are attributable to Gore, well, then you can do that. But it doesn't, Gore's sort of beside the point. I'm trying to talk in the abstract. The point is that you would go to extreme efforts to try to create cynicism and to try to create the belief among the population that it didn't, that elections don't matter, that there's nothing at stake, that all of the candidates are your stooges, so that your candidate can get more easily elected, because your minions are certainly going to be out there pushing to get people to vote for him. I think that's a very reasonable statement. I think it's a very reasonable proposition, and I think that in trying to evaluate the evidence that you may be presented with against any candidate, you have to be very, very, very careful, and I try to rely on the words that are out of the candidate's mouth, the letters that are out of the candidate's personnel file that he provided, right, information that come from those people that is not contested. And I think that I tried to do that in the movie JFK 2, that none of the material that is presented in that is contestable. It's either from the Bushes or it's from the FBI files or it's from other government documents, but that, you know, it's accepted on all sides that these are legitimate documents and legitimate statements. And anyway, let's go on.
Okay.
Okay. So I wanted to make a point. So we're going to talk about the Holocaust, and I wanted to ask you and your listeners to consider for a moment whether you think that Nazi Germany was the capital of racism. Are they the originators of racism, or is there any other country that perhaps had a more active and more powerful racist movement in it before the Nazis took over Germany? And I think that if you think about it for 2 seconds, the Germans didn't have slaves of any sort. The Germans didn't exterminate their native population, and they didn't need to spread racism against the Native Americans the way the rulers of this country did. They didn't need to spread racism against black people the way that the rulers of this country did. So that racism is really very, very, very much a domestic product, and I would emphasize throughout this thing that the evidence suggests that, and I've, you know, you read occasionally about, ooh, they brought the Nazis in after World War II, right, Operation Paperclip and Operation Sunrise, and there's the suggestion that there's something ominous about that, and I really don't think so. I think that it isn't, the ominousness isn't that you have racists coming here, the ominousness is that you have racists bringing these Nazis here, right, if the country were not influenced at extremely high and powerful levels, that wouldn't be happening. Anyhow, we mentioned earlier when we were discussing JFK that, and as an introduction to that the president's grandfather, Prescott Bush, was a chief executive officer of Union Bank of New York, which was seized in 1942 as a Nazi asset. And just quickly, I'd like to remind people that this wasn't just any Nazi asset. I mean, there were any number of businessmen, and Schindler's List deals with it, that there were people who were in business and were looking for business, and they did business with the Nazis because they were looking for business, not because they were looking for business with Nazis. But Prescott Bush did his business with Fritz Thyssen, who was the most important Nazi financier, and there's the music, and we'll come back in a minute.
You learn well, my friend. Okay, we'll be back in 3. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, John Hankey. Stick with us. There's a lot more. Call your friends and neighbors. This is a good one today. Be right back.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest John Hanke. Short segment coming up to the bottom of the hour, and back to where we were. Fritz Thyssen, was that where we were, John?
Sure. That Fritz Thyssen was Hitler's. He's generally recognized in the mainstream history books as the main financial backer of Hitler in the early days, and that is the individual that Prescott was working for. So he wasn't working for just any Nazi. He was working for an extremely critical Nazi, and you know, I want to try to put that up in flashing red lights so that people can remember it when we come back to it. But while we're at it, let's also mention that he was working for, it was Harriman who got him the job working for Thyssen. That Harriman was also heavily invested in this bank, but that the FBI determined that both Harriman and Prescott's jobs were to cover for what was actually monies belonging to Thyssen. But I want to get back to this point of people's trying to appreciate which direction the racism is flowing in this situation. And people have forgotten about this sort of thing, and I'd like to remind them that in 1900, there was no such thing as the Immigration and Nationalization Service. In the 1900, if you got to this country and put 2 feet on the ground, you could vote. You were a citizen, and you could vote. There was no such thing as immigrant status, and there were no restrictions on immigration. And the Walkers of George Herbert Walker Bush, the Harrimans, the DuPonts, the Gettys, the Rockefellers, and the rest of these people in the early 1900s began what they called a eugenics movement, which means essentially good genes, the implication being that some people have good genes and some people have bad genes, and we want to keep the people with good genes here, and we want to encourage more people with good genes to come here, and we want to keep out the bad people who have bad genes. However, who do you suppose they were talking about when they said we want to keep out the people with bad genes?
Well, let's see. I can venture a couple of guesses.
Let's hear a couple of guesses.
Jewish?
Hey, as a matter of fact, although I'm not sure that they would have used that word. But certainly, and
well,
certainly.
Well, now wait a minute. Okay, so what would be the word that they would use?
In the Immigration and Naturalization Act, they would have used Polish.
Okay.
They would have used Russian. They would have used, in fact, they did use Irish and Italian, who were the other people that they sought to exclude. These people felt that Irish were racially inferior, that Italians were racially inferior, that Polish people and all Eastern Europeans generally were racially inferior and ought to be excluded from the country, except for in the smallest numbers possible, and I guess figuring that they could ensure that it was only the wealthy people from those countries who were allowed into the country. And I should point out that also during the 1920s, they certainly after the Depression, and perhaps before, I'm not certain, they instituted programs to sterilize people on welfare, and I'm not talking about Irish people and Italian people and Jewish people and black people. I'm talking about poor people of any stripe, so that if you were of English descent and you were poor, I know a woman, right, whose last name was Walters, who was sterilized. And, you know, you could talk to her. She's very, very highly intelligent and very, very conversant, but she was on welfare and she had two kids, and they said, if you want the check, step into this room, and they sterilized her. I think that was in Michigan, but my point is that, I mean, today sterilizations are looked upon very similar, forced sterilization is looked upon very similar lines as genocide, but I think what I'm trying to get your audience to see is that the guys who run this country don't talk about it anymore because they can't, but in the 1920s, they talked openly about all poor people being genetically inferior and deserving to be sterilized. They talked about Irish people and Italian people and Eastern Europeans and Southern Europeans, for that matter, being genetically inferior and needing to be excluded. And they passed the Immigration Act, and to my understanding, some of the first people upon whom they came down the hardest were the Italians. I think that the Irish immigration had largely waned, but the Italian immigration was still going very, very strong, and they're one of the groups that was the hardest hit. My point being that racism was from the United States to Germany an export and never an import. Anyhow, moving right along, in looking at this stuff, I think your audience is probably going to be agreed that politicians are controlled by the bankers and not the other way around. And when you see bankers in this country participating with Hitler, supporting Hitler, and working with Hitler, of course, every history book that you encounter that discusses it at all will, of course, recognize that these guys are merely the tail being wagged by Hitler's dog, that they are trying to make money. They may be even trying to support him a little bit, but they would never suggest that Hitler was their tool. And we're going to get into that today, and when we're done, I don't know how many question marks are going to be in people's heads other than how can we have been lied to so blatantly for so long. And so let me give one quick example. The Chase Manhattan Bank in Paris I think it was 1932, but I don't have the date in front of me, seized the assets of their Jewish depositors. Hitler hadn't ordered them to seize the assets of the Jewish depositors. They did, however, seize the assets of their Jewish depositors, and then they contacted Hitler and suggested to him that he order them to seize the assets of their Jewish depositors. Now, who's the tail and who's the dog in that scenario? I don't think there's even a question, right? It's very clear in that particular example that the banks are wagging Hitler their tail. But there's the music.
Good point. All right, got to take a break. All right, let's save that point. We'll be back in 3. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick with us. We got a whole lot more, and not a lot of time to cover it because there's a massive stuff to go here. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, John Hankey, talking about the Holocaust today. Okay, go ahead and continue, John.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Let me stress, and I should have said this at the beginning, perhaps, that I am nothing in any way, shape, or form a Holocaust denier. I think at least 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust. I think it's one of the great crimes in the history of the human race. The question is, who did it, and who was behind it? And obviously, no, in answering that question, one of the most important questions to be answered is who benefited. And boy, are we ever going to come right to that. The LA Times, and I assume every other major newspaper in the country, and I don't know to what extent people are familiar or not, carried the story that the banks, the international banks, all of them, made $1 trillion off of the Holocaust, $1,945 off of the Holocaust. That is to say that the 6 million people who died had deposits of one kind and another with those banks, and when they died and when all of their heirs died, that then that money simply fell into the laps of the banks as unclaimed deposits. This was covered. It was a major story. In fact, there were lawsuits involved, and I have an article that I clipped sitting over on my file cabinet if somebody has any question about whether or not that's legitimate a lawsuit was filed, and I think they paid a couple of billion, which is, you know, one 0.2% of their profit is what they paid out to the people who sued them. And what's outrageous is these were people who had documentation that they were the heirs, and the bank said, no, hey, we're not paying anybody. And so it was necessary for lawsuits to be brought. My question is this one. I think people are very largely familiar with the seizure of Jewish assets by the Nazis. They seized businesses. In Schindler's List, again, I think it's a very useful movie in many ways. He was able to acquire his business because it was taken away from some other Jewish businessman, and he was able to buy it for pennies on the dollar. You see articles in the paper occasionally about Jewish artwork that was stolen by the Nazis and one Jewish family or another. What's the guy's name? I don't know. It's an embrace. Edvard Munch. No, that ain't it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Recently, very, very recently in the paper, there was this thing about one very, very famous painting that had been, I think that perhaps the French were in possession of it, and a Jewish family, and it may have been a Rothschild family, was able to prove that it belonged to them. Anyhow, so that's in the paper, and people are aware of it. I hope that people have heard the horrific story about the Nazis going through the mouths of the corpses of the people that they killed at the death camps and prying out the gold and melting it down and acquiring it in that fashion. The point being that the Nazis were very meticulous about squeezing the last bit of profit that they could out of the Jews that they were killing. They cut off their hair and wove it into carpets. They boiled the bodies and boiled off the fat and turned it into soap, which was being sold in Europe after the end of the war. How could they have missed $1 trillion of sitting in public accounts that had been publicly accounted for, that were the easiest pickings? How could they have missed those? How is that possible? I mean, I'd like you and everybody else to ask yourselves that question for a moment. And the guy who was in charge of all this stuff was Goering. And I've been studying Goering, and he was an enormously efficient, competent, insightful administrator. He was in charge of the German economy and of German war manufacture and of acquiring German assets for the Nazis. How could he have missed that? How is it possible? How is it conceivable that he could have missed that $1 trillion sitting in these public accounts? And how is it also possible that there's no other historians on the planet who are asking that question? I mean, that's part of one of the things that gives me the worst chills is, you know, I pretense to be a historian. Well, geez, I may need to take another word to call myself, because the other people who call themselves historians are doing such a disgusting job. But anyway, I mean, I'm waiting for you or anybody else to make a comment, but let's roll on. Let me make a point that everything that I'm talking about today is not from books that are written by Nazis or neo-Nazis and with very lousy documentation. These are most of this information, and certainly the most detailed parts of it and some of the most scandalous parts of it. I mean, what I just told you came from the LA Times, and I assume every other major newspaper. But yeah, if I give you a minute detail, most of it comes from books written by this guy named Richard Breitman. And he wrote a book on Himmler, and he wrote a book recently on U.S. intelligence and the Nazis, in which he's reviewing all of these recently declassified U.S. intelligence documents and Nazi documents as well, in order to establish some of this stuff. And he's Jewish, and he's conservative. I mean, he's got to be a Bush supporter. The comments that he makes about the meaning of the information that he's presenting are just outrageously stupid and blind about the significance of this information. But he's presenting the information, and in any case, he is probably the most well-respected mainstream scholar that the United States has on the subject of the Holocaust. So, you can go down to the Holocaust Museum and present this information to them, and I don't think that they will contest the accuracy of these statements. The question is, what do they mean? And so you have Hitler, who is the sworn enemy of the international bankers, supposedly, at least that's in public, behind the scenes, and it doesn't even come out for 40 years and more, giving them a gift of $1 trillion that is just unimaginable how that could possibly have transpired. And the only point that I really want to make out of that is that there's a lot more going on here than any of us has ever been paying attention to. There's something rotten in Denmark. There's something to the story that we're not aware of, because if we were aware of it, we could answer that question, right? It would not be.
Let me interject something here. Okay. Now, let me just get up to speed here. Göring was overseeing this whole endeavor, and you're saying that they were pulling the gold fillings out of their teeth, they were making rugs out of their hair, they were turning their skin into soap, and
they didn't go after their bank accounts.
Well, I mean, the hair was being made into rugs. They were selling this stuff?
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Right, they were selling. Okay, so, and the profits from this mysteriously disappeared.
The profits from what?
The selling of the soap, the selling of the hair.
I think those are accounted for. I think they devolved into the coffers of the Nazi state, and you know whether they have been subsequently accounted for or not I don't know. But my point is that they went after the hair and they went after the fat on the bodies and they went after the gold in the teeth and they didn't go after the bank accounts.
Okay, I see. Okay, I get you now. Okay, all right.
Now,
continue.
They went after some bank accounts, right? I mean, Göring tried. They set up an arrangement. And, you know, we could spend an hour talking about the details of it, and I'd rather not today. But there were arrangements that if Jewish people with money volunteered to be deported, that their bank accounts, 75% of their bank account would go to the state, and 25% of their bank account would be returned to them in script that they could take wherever it was that they went and use to buy German-manufactured products. So that even the 25% of the script, the 25% of their bank accounts that they received in script would end up going back to Germany because it had to be used and could only be used to buy German goods. But that's a relatively small portion of the people. And these people weren't killed anyway, so we don't need to include them in the Holocaust, I suppose. But in the oppression of the Jewish people, these people are a relatively small group, and certainly they're not counted among the 6 million that were murdered. Of the 6 million that were murdered, apparently, I can't say all, and I don't need to give a percentage. What I can say definitively is that the papers in the United States reported that the profits to the banks were $1 trillion, that the amounts in the cumulative amounts in all of the accounts of all of the dead were $1 trillion. And we don't need to argue about that. Nobody needs to argue about that. That is an uncontested fact. And given that it's uncontested.
Okay, let me ask you one question.
Sure.
It's an uncontested fact that the profits on that were $1 trillion. Now, is it also irrefutable evidence that all of this money was Jewish money?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I don't believe there's any contest about that, and I would suggest to you that if they admit to $1 trillion, it's probably closer to 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that makes sense too, right? And I haven't said that, and I wasn't planning to say that, but I mean, you know, come on. We all live in this world.
Well, John, I've been down the rabbit hole a little bit on this, not to any great extent, but I know that, you know, I was doing some research regarding, you know, the Ernst Zundel thing and him, the Holocaust denier and so forth, and I happened to run across a document. Now, the legitimacy of the document, I'm not sure. It looks legitimate. It's from the Red Cross. And this is one of the documents that I saved on my computer, which I was looking for before we started today. And again, I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I'm just saying in looking at the Ernst Zundel case, you know, I started to look down the rabbit hole and say, well, wait a minute. Okay, how come there's all this hubbub about the fact that the Holocaust – why would anybody deny the Holocaust? And then I ran across this Red Cross document that specified that there weren't 6 million – according to the Red Cross records, there weren't 6 million Jews that were murdered. That was like – and I can't even remember. It was in the hundreds of thousands. Now, I don't know how legitimate the document is, and what's curious is that I went in to look for it today because I was going to ask you about it, and it's not there. It's been erased. So, you know, I'm not a Holocaust denier either. I'm not saying it is or I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just saying it's very curious why these, you know, the benign breath, the ADL and so forth are going to such great lengths to prosecute people for being Holocaust deniers. And to me, that raises a red flag, not to mention the fact I've got a guest coming up on my show Monday, Ted Pike, that the ADL, you know, is pushing very, very hard for hate crimes legislation. Are you familiar with that?
No. However, and I'd rather doubt that we'll get to it today, but perhaps next Wednesday we will get to the participation of the ADL in the perpetration of the Holocaust.
Okay, I'll tell you let's both take a breath for a minute. I didn't open up the phone lines yet, but we got Larry from Dallas on the line. Let's go ahead and stick him in here, and then we'll get back to where we were, okay?
Sure.
All right, Larry, are you with us? Larry from Dallas.
Hey, I just wanted to – I'm listening to this show about he's claiming the 6 million number. If you do a Google search on that, you find out that there's a lot of articles that say that the 6 million number came back. It was presented in World War One that they came up with that lie. And then there's another site that I think is really good. It's called One Third of the Holocaust. Some guy did some really good research on the subject, and it talks about the there's like three camps, Treblinka, Sobibor, and Belzec, and talks about all the claims about burning bodies and that, and
he
you
put
know,
together
using
a video,
the body
didn't
fat.
Larry? Larry? Didn't that guy put together a video?
Yeah. It's called www.onethirdoftheholocaust.com.
Okay.
And you can sit there and watch. He's got like, I think it's like 9 episodes for the, or actually no, there's 30 episodes in the movie. It's broken down into 30 chapters that you can watch in either QuickTime or real Windows Media Video or whatever.
Okay.
But it's very informative, and it makes
it's a
hoax. That's what I call it, because the 6 million number, like I said, the rabbis and that have been drumming up that number since World War One. And that we've had people that I've talked to that have gone to the Holocaust museums and the so-called soap that they made out of fat. They've done genetic DNA test on that, and it's not human fat. It's pig fat. So
my position, Larry and John, by the way, is the as far as I'm concerned with the research that I've done, and by the way, I think I've seen that video, Larry. With me, the jury's still out on it. I'm not claiming that it didn't happen, but I'm not 100% convinced that the figure 6 million, John and Larry, is an accurate figure. And I'll rest it with that. I guess I'm going to have to go down the rabbit hole and do some more extensive research on it. But you got anything else, Larry?
Well, it's funny that this magical 6 number sure appears a lot with the Jews. I mean, it's either 6 million, they've got their 6-sided star, you know, they've got their 6-year war. It's just, this number sure comes up a lot when you're dealing with the Jews, who aren't really Jews. I mean, if you read Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, they're the synagogue
right.
of Satan.
Beware of those who claim to be Jews but are not. Right.
Correct.
I'm very familiar with those two scriptures, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Larry. I appreciate that input. And, John, again, I want to reiterate, you know, I'm not saying it did or didn't happen, but it is, you know, the investigation that I've done on it when I was looking at this Ernst Zundel matter, there is a lot of journalism, if you will, that's out there that, and I don't know how credible the evidence is, but there is evidence to the contrary. So, again, I haven't gone down the rabbit hole that deeply on it, but okay, let's go ahead and continue. Go ahead.
I used to live in an area. I used to live in the ghetto just south of Beverly Hills. And you'd go into the bakery to buy a donut, and the woman behind the counter had numbers tattooed on her forearm. One of my best friends married a fellow whose parents met at Auschwitz in the final months of the war. They were Hungarian, which only completely is corroborated by everything that I know, that the Hungarians were the last to get deported into Auschwitz. And, you know, I got to sit around and talk to these people. So, you know, I don't have that much trust for an FBI report or a CIA report or a Red Cross report that somebody found online. you know, if it came, if it comes directly out of the National Archives, well, you know, we can consider it. We talked when we were discussing Hunt, how Hunt went in and placed forgeries into the National Archives, and that issue is going to come up with the British National Archives when we get around to discussing Goering. Anyhow, I'm persuaded by the witnesses that I have spoken to who were there and who saw it with their own two eyes. I don't want to quibble about 6 million or 5 million or 3 million or 2 million or 1 million.
Neither
it doesn't, it
do
doesn't
I.
really exactly. matter to me.
Right.
That's
right,
not
yeah.
the essence of the question. It does. What matters to me, because I think that it's so critical in making the in trying to find our way through this wilderness and figure out what is in fact going on, is this $1 trillion figure. And you do the math any way you want and figure out how many average people are going to have to, in 1945, are going to have to contribute to a sum in order to make it stack $1 trillion high. It was a whole lot of people. And in any case, well, you know, look, I don't want to go there. And I would appreciate it if people who want to question whether or not a bunch of Jews were rounded up and murdered, if they want to question that, I'd rather that they didn't call in on another show. I don't want to dispute that. I'd like to move on.
Okay, well, that's fine. I'm with you.
And there's the music.
We'll go to a break. We'll both take a breath. We'll be back in three. Okay, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, John Hanke. Be right back. Great show today, folks. Stick around.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
All All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my guest, John Hanke. I want to, before we get back into this short segment coming up at the top of the hour, want to remind everybody that John's website is www.bushkilledjfk.com, and, of course, mine is www.theamericanawakening.org. And also, John and I have agreed that, you know, we're going to welcome callers in the second hour, but please don't call in with a debate about how many, what the number was on the Holocaust, because really it's irrelevant in this show. Okay, John, let's get back to where we were. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Well, and, you know, if you hear anything that today that you think is important, and if you're paying attention, I think that you will, go to my website and buy something. I haven't had a sale in 2 days. It's a little disheartening. Anyway.
Well, let me insert something here. Guys, listen. John, people like John, myself, all of us are out here trying to wake people up, bring the truth, and I have emphasized that many, many times at the beginning of my show. I'm starting a new trek next week to go out and actually interview the mind dumbed down Americans and share to get some kind of a feel, a temperature, if you will, for what percentage of Americans are really starting to wake up. But we need – I don't ask for donations. I started that a couple of times, and I just don't – I can't do it. John can't do it. We don't want donations. But John has put a lot of work into bringing very, very valuable information to the table. And I would implore you to go into his website and buy a video. Buy two or three videos, okay? Burn copies of it. And, again, have parties. Invite your friends over. Pass them out. Send them out for Christmas gifts, for birthday gifts, okay? Get, you know, send them out or hand them to somebody and get their opinion on it, for crying out loud. Because this is how we make our living. And we're doing this, you know, if we worked for the other side, they'd be paying us handsomely to do this. But they don't. We have to do this on our own, folks. So please, if you will, I implore you to go into his website and buy a video, okay? And burn some copies of it and pass them around. All right, getting back to where we were. Go ahead, John.
Thank you, Michael. The following is from Webster Tarpley's work, but, you know, his work is extraordinarily well documented and footnoted and cited. And you'll notice that Germany doesn't have any oil of its own. And they, during the war and before, they began to make gasoline from coal, but they discovered that the gasoline that they made from coal was not a sufficient octane to run the aircraft engines. And it would tear them up. It would make them run so rough that they would actually break into pieces. And the Standard Oil Company developed, I guess they were addressing the problem that the Germans were having, and they developed an anti-knock compound that they called ethyl. And the War Department heard about this and blocked it. And Standard Oil they have agents everywhere, right? And they used their agents in the State Department to get around it so that they could get permission to give Hitler the formula. And they not only developed the formula, but they built the factory. And would you care to guess where they built the factory, Michael?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to give you a hint. It's the most infamous factory in the history of the world.
The most infamous factory in the history of the world.
The most infamous factory location. Slave labor, working people to the death.
Well, it would have to be China or Vietnam.
Well, it was Auschwitz. They built the factory.
Oh, okay. Well,
Auschwitz.
In
right?
Auschwitz.
I mean, yes. In case you wondered if there was a connection between the Holocaust and the Rockefellers, not only did the Rockefellers make a lion's share of $1 trillion off of the Holocaust, but they built the factory for the Nazis to make. They couldn't fly their airplanes.
That's very significant, John. I'll give you that one. Listen, we're going to go up to the top of the hour here. We're going to take a break for a couple minutes. Grab your breath and get your paperwork together. I know you got a lot more to cover. And probably about midway or just shortly before during the next hour, I'm going to open up the phone lines for questions or comments. So stick with us. We'll be back in 2 minutes this time. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, John Hanke. Be right back. Round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could. 'Cause I'm mad as hell. Can't bring myself to do what it is you think I should. It's true.